Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. While we were living in Connecticut, we had the opportunity to visit some of our seminary friends who were serving a church just outside of Burlington, Vermont. It was about a 3.5-hour drive from our house in central Connecticut to their house. And after we'd been there and had a great visit, they suggested that if we had time on our way home to make a loop up around the mountain through Smuggler's Notch and drop into Stowe, Vermont to check it out. So that's what we did on our way home, and we got to Stowe, and there was a farmer's market that was pretty cool, and we bought some maple syrup because that's what you do. We enjoyed some baked goods, and I don't know if there was any produce there. That's not what I was interested in. And then we drove out to the Von Trapp Family Resort that is right outside of Stowe, Vermont, and that they established when they moved to the U.S. having fled Nazi-occupied Germany. And I remember when we were there in Stowe just being so impressed that I was there, because having grown up here in California, that seemed so far away. A place I'd heard of, but couldn't have ever imagined actually going. It might as well have been Europe to me. I was 40. But yet, it just really impressed me, but it didn't impress our kids. I just kept thinking, you guys have no idea how far away this is from California and how cool it is to actually be here. They're like, yeah, Dad. When are we going to getting home? So I was thinking about The Sound of Music as I was reading and studying reading this week from the prologue of John's Gospel, which begins in the beginning, right? Which is a very good place to start, as we learn from Maria von Trapp. When you read, you begin with ABC. When you sing, you begin with Do Re Mi. Thanks for not singing. I didn't sing at the 8:30 service, and they were grateful for it. So begins the song. Now, our reading this morning from John doesn't begin with ABC, but it does begin in the beginning, a good place to start. And the beginning is where the Bible starts, in Genesis, right? You familiar with Genesis 1:1 in the beginning? But Bob, it's not about baseball. All right. The beginning is when the world was created. God created the world out of nothing. You see, God created everything that exists by the power of God's word. God spoke, and the world came into being, we read. And our reading begins with a reference to the original beginning and to the word, which was in existence in the beginning, because the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this might sound like circular logic to some of us, and it might just sound redundant to others, but this is John. So get used to it, because we're going to be reading and preaching from John's Gospel between now and Easter, with the exception of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, which we'll read from Luke chapter 2, the nativity story that we all are familiar with. So the Word was with God and is God and was there at the beginning. Then we read that all things came into being through Him, God, the Word. And again, nothing came into being without Him, God, the Word. Got it? All right. God, the Word, created all things in the beginning, but we already knew that from Genesis. So then we read what God created was life, and life was the light of all people. Here we are in the first few verses of John's Gospel, and John has already offered us a variety of images to describe or help us understand who God is. We've got Word, life, and light. And as we read through the rest of the gospel this winter and spring, we will encounter a ton of other images that John uses to describe who God is. And these images are meant to evoke something in us as we read and hear them. Maybe it's a memory or a feeling or an image. Maybe it's something that we'd learned before. Maybe it's something we've read before, like Genesis 1, as we read John 1. Do you know today is the shortest day of the year? There's 24 hours. I mean, that part's maybe give or take, right? I'm not sure how the calendar works and the world rotating and all that, but 24-ish hours. But there is less daylight today than any other day during the year. Notice I didn't say sunlight. But daylight. There's less daylight today than there was yesterday, and there will be tomorrow. And yet the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The darkness will not overcome it, even on a rainy day like today. The sun is shining, right? We may not see it, but we know that the sun is in fact shining above those clouds, above all that moisture in the air. Well, the darkness that John writes about is the same yet different than the darkness that we experience today. Sin and evil existed then. Sin and evil exists today. Their temptations then were different than our temptations now. Their distractions were different. I don't think any of them were struggling with an addiction to their smartphone. And even though they were distracted, even though they were looking in the wrong places and at the wrong people for this long-promised Savior, the Savior did come. The light came into the darkness. The world became flesh and dwelt among us. In the first century, they thought there was a God for everything, and that everything that existed was controlled or ruled by a different God. As a result, people worshipped and prayed to and tried to appease huge numbers of God, all in the hopes that the gods that they were praying to and trying to appease would look kindly on them in the areas that they thought those gods controlled, right? So if it was the god of the harvest, if it was the god of rain or sunshine, but not everybody thought that. No, there was a group of people, the Jewish people, who believed in one God, the one true God who was the maker of heaven and earth, the God who joined Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace that we read about 3 weeks, the God who offered the promise of new life to Ezekiel in that valley of dry bones that we read about 2 weeks, the God who promised to satisfy the thirst of all who believe, who we read about last week. That God created the world by the sound of God's voice through the power of the Word. And that Word, that God became flesh and lived among us. Do you understand the ramifications of God? Not just any God, but the one true God lowering God's self to live among the creation? Any story you read about gods who come and dwell on earth, they all come because they've either lost a fight, a bet, a battle, their power, and they're all trying to get back into the heavens and get their power back, right? But that's not the case here. The one true God who created heaven and earth chose to come and live among the creation. And not as a God, or at least not exactly, although he remained God while he was here on earth, but as a human, with all the challenges and the joys of humanity. The Word became flesh. We know, even without John using his name, that the Word is Jesus, whose birth we celebrate in a few short days. The only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, Jesus became like us. in order that we might know him. And not just him, but God who sent him. That, my friends, is the scandal of the incarnation. Incarnation. That's a big churchy word that means a deity taking on the form of a human, a God living as a person. And God willingly and lovingly became like us. Like us. So that we might know God and have a relationship with God. This is the second creative act of God. We had the first in Genesis. And here at the beginning of John, it's like the first. It's born out of God's desire to be in a relationship with creation. God's desire to be in a relationship with us. You see, God is a relational God. And God wanted and wants to demonstrate and express God's love for us, with us, and with the rest of God's creation. So God did the unspeakable, the unthinkable. God chose to take on the form of a human in order to reveal God's self to us, in order that we might come to know God, and in so doing, God narrowed the gap between us and God, between heaven and earth. Didn't have to build a bridge, but actually came to dwell among us. No other God, even if they did exist, would consider doing such a thing willingly. Again, if they existed, no other God would choose to do that. They would never lower themselves to become like us in order that we might become like them. But that's what God has done and is doing for us. For God so loved the world that God entered the womb of a young virgin girl in order that he might be born in a humble manger. And as thanks be to God. Baseball is coming. Sorry, Bob. Maybe I was wrong about the baseball reference. I don't know. I told Joanne a long time, she never has to apologize for her phone going off because it plays Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and that's always appropriate. In all seriousness, as Advent nears its conclusion, let us prepare our hearts to receive him once more. The Word made flesh. The Savior of the world, born to us, born of a virgin, in order that we might come to know God, and that God might offer each and every one of us a new beginning. Do, re, mi. Amen.